Father, bless these words to our heart. Anoint our ears to hear, God. Give us a portion from your heart, from your throne. Lord, speak to us through these words. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the word of God says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. It is very possible for a believer to have an uplifted soul and to think that that believer is doing that for the purpose of his, quote, walk with God. And I would say this is where a lot of Christianity is today. An uplifted soul before God, whereby I try to conform my soul into some semblance of what I call spiritual or right before Him. And I lift it up. And I say to myself at some point, soul, you're doing pretty good now. You quit smoking or whatever it might be, or drinking. Like you don't do immoral things, you don't swear except when you stub your toe, and then you confess it. And you get to this place where you've lifted up your soul before God, and you say, "Okay, I'm doing better now than I was before." And though you can recognize very easily that there is a humanity in you. And don't we do this though? We say there is a humanity in me, but we lift up our soul and say, "I'm doing the best that I can. And maybe I'm doing pretty good. And I try, and certainly God will be okay with me." And I think this is much how a lot of people in Christianity think. The trouble with it is the soul that is lifted up is not right before Him. Is not upright before Him. But the just will live by faith. Now, how is it that the just will live by faith? And where does that faith come from? Well, certainly we know that in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and how can they hear without a preacher? Certainly that is true. But many people hear, and many people do not live in faith. And they are believers. They may live in enough faith that they receive Christ as their Savior, but in their day-to-day walk with God, in their day-to-day life with Him, in their experience with Him, they don't really live by faith. They live with an uplifted soul. And so the fact that faith comes by hearing, albeit extremely important, is not in and of itself complete. There are other aspects that bring faith. There are other aspects that bring our life with God along with hearing. One of those aspects, and this is not what we're going to focus on today per se, but one of them is knowing His heart. You see, I can hear all day long if I like, but if I don't know the heart of God, my faith is a worthless faith. Though I have the faith to move mountains, and I don't know love, I have nothing. Right? Isn't that what the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 13? So even though I may have a faith, it is still possible to have it be a faith that does not produce God's imparted righteousness in my heart. And though I may have faith, I may be an Ephesian. Where the Ephesians had perfect doctrine, they hated the Nicolaitans, who were in fact vile before God. They were an evil group, the Nicolaitans. They tried to worship God through sin. This was a nasty little group, and the Ephesians hated the Nicolaitans, and they had great doctrine. Because you know why they had great doctrines? Because the apostles were their pastors. This was the apostolic church. So they had great doctrines, but they didn't have love. And because they didn't have God's love, that first love, that God loves you first before you love Him, they probably, I dare say, even had an attempt of sorts, a genuine and sincere one, to love God. Because the apostles certainly did. And if they were to ask, they say, yes, I love God, see what I'm doing. Because their works were perfect. Their fruit was genuine. But they lacked something. They lacked the love of God. And they lacked it because they did not receive it first. And since they did not receive it, they could not give it back or shed it abroad to others. So without that love, their faith was meaningless. It was empty and it had no power. Knowledge without love puffs a person up. That's all it does. But love in knowledge, in doctrine, will bring edification to the other believer and salvation through the gospel to the unbeliever. By the way, those groups, those people who as a lifestyle do not soul win, do not love. Because if they loved, they would love the lost. But anyway, there are more components than just hearing to having faith. Love is a major component because love energizes faith. And love gives legs and life and breath to faith. But there is another thing also, and that's what we're going to talk about today. In Psalm 42 and verse 6, the Word of God says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, let's go back to the beginning for a moment. O God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. What is the land of Jordan? The land of Jordan is the land of resurrection. It was after Israel was led by Joshua through the Jordan River that they received the promise of God. And this is very much a picture of the believer who lives in resurrection life after he has gone through the cross. But the river is not a picture of the cross. The river is a picture of what comes after the cross. The cross was getting in the river, because the river also had to part just like the Red Sea. And the river was too deep to cross. But at the cross, they found a river. And the river is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes them through and brings them into the promise. So, I will remember thee from the land of resurrection. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He is talking here of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls to the spirit of man at the noise of thy word. The water spout is the Holy Spirit bringing forth the word of God. And this is how the deep calls unto the deep. When the Holy Spirit brings the word of God. This is how a believer enters into a place of faith. It is through the Holy Spirit bringing the word of God in the soul. Not just mere hearing. I can hear an anointed preacher, but unless my heart is humble before God, I will not hear a word that preacher has spoken. Oh, I may hear the words. I may hear the utterances. But I will not hear a thing. Because I am indeed deaf. Proud people receive nothing from God. Because they cannot hear Him. Only the humble will hear. So at the noise of thy water spout, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And so I live a life in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God lives a life within me. And this is part of the mystery of walking with God, of living with God, that we are in Him as He is in us, and He speaks to our hearts, and the deep calls unto the deep. And this is how the just live by faith, by the deep calling unto the deep. You see, apart from the deep calling unto the deep, there is no leading of the Holy Spirit. There is no walk of faith, because apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit, all that I have is sight. And my faith is really just an exchange between my spirit and the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit initiates the Word of God to my spirit, because the Word of God is the language of God, it's like I'm speaking in English now. If you speak Portuguese only, you won't have a clue what I'm saying. Or if you speak Portuguese to me, I'm just going to look at you like you're silly. And this is very much what it is like apart from the Holy Spirit bringing the Word of God. It's Portuguese. Or to the Portuguese, it's like Chinese. And to the Chinese, it's like Greek. And nobody speaks Greek except the Greeks. And Andrew. Latin, there it is. It's like Latin. But this is what it is like. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to the heart, and the heart is transformed. As the Holy Spirit initiates to the human spirit through the Word of God, the Word of God goes from perception, from hearing to perception, from perception to frame of reference. And as it approaches the frame of reference in the perception is the part where the human spirit comes in. The human spirit perceives it, and then it sends it in its way of thinking to the human soul. And as the human spirit is fellowshipping through the Word of God with the human soul, the Spirit of God is entering that soul and filling it. And we become spirit-filled. And as we are spirit-filled, hearing from God, we start to be led by God as the deep calls unto the deep. The deep things of God call unto the deep of man. And we walk by faith. And therein we find that which is just. Now, what happens, since the just will live by faith, if a believer who is born again suddenly does not live by faith? Does that make him unjust? Well, he is cleansed by the blood. No, it does not make him unjust in his position. It simply, he loses the manifestation of God's justice in his practical everyday experience. In other words, God's justice is not worked up. God's justice is not performed. God's justice is produced by God in man. And as this justice is produced, then my experience is God's justice, not because I worked it up, not because I'm good, and not because I can do anything of myself, but because it is Christ who quickens me. And as Christ quickens me, His life is imparted in me, and the manifestation of that life is then revealed. And the just live by faith. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. While I'm fellowshipping with the Word of God, while I have the opportunities, I take them. While I have a fruitful Word of God, grace-preaching, sin-hating, God-loving ministry, I take the opportunities that I have and I receive. I take the opportunities that I have to read, to meditate, to receive, to pray. And my soul receives the loving kindness of God in the daytime. And as I am built up in the loving kindness of God, because the deep has called unto the deep, I am built up in the nature and character of who God is. And the nature and character of who God is becomes the nature and character of who I am, because His nature is now imparted in me. And it is alive in me in theatric action, where God's nature casts aside, not away, but aside the old sin nature, and His nature becomes the nature of the man. And now as I live in the nature of God is love, I have the loving kindness of God. And why do they call it loving kindness? Because kindness is the expression of God's love. It is the outward manifestation of God's heart toward the man. In 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, attitude, kind, and manifestation, the expression of the attitude. And so I have God's kindness being manifested in my heart, and I am fellowshipping with God's heart and God's nature in the daytime, while the opportunities are there to do so, so that in the night, when the opportunities have gone, so where the trial has come upon me, where perhaps disaster has struck, or maybe somebody died, maybe I have lost my home, maybe I have lost my job, whatever the trial is, all of a sudden the night comes upon me, and the night will come. Sure as the daytime is here, the night will come. The trial will come. I will enter into a period of testing and of challenge, and I will enter into a period where things are just too big for me and I can't handle them. But because I have taken my opportunities in the daytime and I learned the loving kindness of God and I have it stored in my heart, in the nighttime, I sing. What do I sing? I sing the praises of God. Why do I sing the praises of God? Because I'm working it up in a religious performance? No, because it is the content of my heart that has been imparted to my heart, and my heart has become filled with it in the daytime. And so now when the evening comes, and the trial comes upon me, I have the ability to sing unto the Lord. This is why Paul could sing in prison. And what happened when he was singing in prison? Paul was singing in prison and the wall started to shake and the doors flew open and the guards ran away. He just walked out. Actually, he didn't walk out, did he? He could have walked out, but he didn't. Why? Because he didn't want the guard to be killed. You see, when I am in the nighttime, and I am singing unto God because the deep has called unto the deep, and I sing unto God in my trial, the doors of my prison fly open. And the very thing that I considered bondage once, whatever it is, and I have the opportunity to walk out of it, and suddenly I don't. Why? Because the deep has called unto the deep. And the trial becomes a provision. And now I am no longer a prisoner of God, I am a bond slave. I am there by my own option, by my own choice. And though I say to God, God, this is a difficult situation, the circumstance is bitter, the trial is hard, it's too much for me, I stay in it anyway. I don't run from it, I stay in it. I don't react at it, I rejoice in it, and I sing in the darkness in the prison. Why? Because I have the loving kindness of God in my heart, and I fellowship with it, and I sing in the nighttime. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is what the psalmist is saying. I've got my enemies attacking me. They're mocking God because I don't seem to be getting delivered. And I'm asking myself, now why are you all bummed out about? Why are you so sad? Why are you so down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? What are you worried about? Why art thou disquieted within me? What are you so nervous about? Hope thou in God. Why? Because the loving kindness of God has already been imparted to your heart, and the deep has already called unto the deep, and you know the nature of God, and the nature of God is such that He will not leave you and forsake you, and you know this, and this is why you are singing. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is in the health, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And while these things are happening, I find myself, not because I'm trying to produce it, not because I ought to, and not because I think it's going to make me feel better. I simply find myself praising God because I see God in the furnace. What do you think happened in the minds of those Hebrew boys when the king had them thrown into the furnace, turned up 7 times hotter, and the fourth man was right there in them? You think they noticed he was there? I think they did. The king certainly did. What do you think went through their minds at that point? We know what went through the mind of the king, but what went through the mind of the Hebrew boys who said to the king, "My God is more than able. You can throw me in the furnace if you like. If I perish, I perish, but my God is more than able." And there's the fourth man. And the fire is all around you, and it's turned up 7 times hotter, so hot that the guards standing outside the furnace were killed by the heat of the fire. And these guys are just walking around like it's a picnic. What do you think went through their minds? You think they said, "Praise God"? I bet they did. You see, the deep calls unto the deep. I trust God when He puts me into the fire. I trust God when He puts me into the prison. I trust God when He puts me into the trial, into the testing, because the deep has called unto the deep. And what happens when I get into that trial? I find Him there. And this is why I can praise Him, because I find Him there. This is why I can stay in the circumstance that's just too much for me, because I find Him there. He is there. He is the fourth man. And only 3 went in, 4 were there, but 3 came out. He stayed in the fire. Every time I go back into that fire, He's there. And so the deep calls unto the deep. In Psalm 25 and verse 9, we find the key to the deep calling unto the deep. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His ways. For all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. You see, we can hear the Word of God all we like, but do we actually get taught by it? It is possible, and I think it is common, for people to go to church and hear a good message, but they didn't hear the Word of God. Not because it wasn't there, because they had no ears. Meekness before God are the ears for the spirit of man to hear from the Spirit of God. Because it is the meek that He will guide in judgment, and it is the meek that He will teach His ways. What is meekness? Meekness is not cowardliness. Meekness is not cowering. Meek people are usually the boldest people I've ever met. They are simply the people who are humble before God and trust Him, who mix faith with what they hear. They do not exalt themselves above the Word of God. They yield themselves to the Word of God. And so the Word of God enters into them, and they are guided in judgment. This is why the Word of God says, judge righteous judgment. It is not that I'm supposed to walk around judging someone. I'm supposed to judge righteous judgment with God's judgment. And what is God's judgment? God's judgment was, it is finished. God's judgment is, you are precious in my eyes and I love you. God's judgment is, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you. God's judgment is that his Gomer is standing in the slave market because she has left her husband years before. Left him to what? To become a prostitute. Not left him because she didn't like him. Not left him because he was unkind to her. Left him to become a prostitute because she was unclean. She had an unclean heart. And her unclean heart drove her into an unclean life that destroyed her. But then Hosea finds her years and years later. He finds her and he buys her back. And she says, I will not be here for you. You're not going to buy me back. I didn't buy you for that. I bought you for your freedom. God bought us for our freedom. But the only way that I can get that freedom is to learn to judge righteous judgment. Is to be meek before God, because otherwise I will always remain a slave unto my sin nature. Otherwise I will always serve the lusts of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. I will always serve someone. But the deep calling unto the deep buys me freedom unto God. And so the meek will he teach. This is why people who have a very strong intellect but pride in their heart can hear messages all day long but receive absolutely nothing, because they have not been taught. They simply have their intellect. But God's ways are above man's ways. And God's thoughts are above man's thoughts. So my strong intellect is foolishness to God. I need to hear the deep that is calling unto the deep. And only when I hear the deep calling unto the deep and I respond to it in a positive volitional attitude, with a positive volitional response where I mix faith with what I hear, only then will He guide me in judgment. Only then will I be led by the Holy Spirit. Only then will I have the deep things of God revealed to me. Only then will I be able to be led into the dark places and find the riches of God in those places. Only then will I be able to walk out of those dark places and maintain and keep in my heart those riches. It is possible for a person to be humbled by their circumstances, by their trials, and then puff themselves up once they are out again. But when I am meek before God, that will not happen to me. This is why meek people can be so bold, because they trust the God who is their deliverer. This is why somebody like Pastor Shibeli can be arrested practically every time he goes to Africa. Not so much lately, because he's preaching the gospel in places that it's totally illegal. And he gets up in the middle, like he did in China. He got up in the middle of a square. It might have been Tiananmen Square, I'm not sure. He got up in the middle of the square and he started preaching the gospel at the top of his voice. He said, you can't do that here. He said, sure I can. Just watch me. This is why he can be arrested in Jordan and win the people who arrest him to Christ. This is why he can be arrested in Morocco and laugh about it. Why? Because he's got confidence in God. He knows who he serves. He's meek before him. This is why Paul could sing in prison. This is why Paul, when he got stoned to death, could get up, brush himself off, and keep preaching the gospel. This is why Paul, after 3 shipwrecks, kept going on missionary journeys. Why? Because the deep calls unto the deep. and we learn the deep things of God. What are the deep things of God that we learn? We learn His character and His nature toward us. When I learn that I am loved by God, I will be an incredibly bold person. The world will not scare me, because I will trust the Savior when He said, "Do not fear the one who can kill the body and then do no more. Fear the one who can kill the body and then cast you into hell." But when I know that one, and I have confidence in the love that He has toward me, I do not fear anyone, but I reverence Him. It's not good to fear people. Not only because the fear of God is a snare, but what type of a snare is it? Excuse me. Not only because the fear of man is a snare, but what type of a snare is it? That which I fear because I reverence it. I will reverence what I fear. It will become a God in my life. I need to know the character of the Savior in order to avoid serving anything else. But if I do not know the character of the Savior, if the deep has not called unto the deep, I will be a slave to something else. I will be a slave to myself. I may be a slave to the world. I may be a slave to you. But I'm going to be a slave to something other than God. But when the mercy of God, because the deep has called unto the deep, sets me free, then I am freed unto Him. And I'm free to live in the liberty that comes in a life with Him. You see, in Him there is my liberty. I'm freed from the law. I'm freed from sin. Freed from the world. Freed from my own thinking. I'm alive unto Christ. And though I live, it's His life that lives in me. And therein is freedom. That's the fruit of the deep calling unto the deep. See, the Holy Spirit fellowshipping with the spirit of a man. And the spirit of a man imparting what it has received from God to the man's soul delivers that man unto God. And that man will then walk by faith and experience the justice of the faith that he lives in. Amen.